Good evening, welcome back to Ulcerative Colitis Motherhood and Me. I'm Ulcerative Colitis Mama, and tonight's episode I want to kind of focus on sort of more a positive aspect of mental health and mental well-being, and sort of put a bit of a new spin on it really, and exploring new feelings and different feelings that I've probably not really felt very often or very much in my life, and them not necessarily being negative for a change, which is quite alien to me really, as somebody who has sort of endured hardships with my mental well-being for a number of years. So without further ado, let's get started with tonight's episode. So a positive spin on mental health. Okay, that just sounds quite juxtaposed really, because we always kind of look at mental health in terms of the negative side of it and the negative implications it has on our overall well-being, and it's always assumed that if there's anything mental health, there's something wrong. And you know, so at the moment I feel quite the opposite really, and it's not, I wouldn't say unnerving, I think that's quite a strong word, leaning to the negative, but I feel new feelings that I've not felt before, and the only way I can describe it is a great sense of contentment. And I know it's there is probably a very, very good reason for that. So for those of you who haven't seen my social media posts or followed my podcast, certainly in the last 12 months, a couple of weeks ago, myself and my long-term partner, Big G, took the plunge and finally got married, and we've been together almost 20 years, and we've kind of done everything life has kind of, we've taken the scenic route, as my mum would say. And so a couple of weeks ago we actually got married, and it was such a surreal experience. And it's true what everybody says, it goes very, very fast. You kind of, it's almost like it's happening to somebody else, but it was such a beautiful day, and I couldn't fault anything at all. The weather was on our side, everything went without a hitch, it just went perfectly. Very, very nerve-wracking, as somebody who has anxiety anyway, to be like one of the two main focuses of the big day, was quite unnerving, and having like eyes on me, and you know, and that sort of that expectation of being a bride and what I should look like and what I would be wearing and how my makeup and hair will be was quite, you know, quite a big kind of, there was a lot of pressure on. And I know on the sort of the build up to the wedding, it was quite stressful. Although I thought I took it in my stride, or I certainly internalised it well, like I normally do with stress and anxiety. But, you know, overall, I had the most beautiful day. Me and Big G had a wonderful day, magical, and it was just, it just went so quick, and I'd love to relive it again. So hopefully once our professional photographs are done and sent over to us, we can kind of relive it again, you know, from another perspective. So like I said, this feeling of great and contentment is got to be probably a first for me really, and I'm not knocking it, I'm quite like it. And it's just, and I know it, that you know, that you know, psychologically, sociologically, it could be like a mixture of kind of like oxytocin or whatever, feel good hormones. I'm not sort of claiming to be an expert on anything like that, but you know, that sort of like that rush of love, that chemical kind of you know, effect in your brain can be a sign of it. I'm aware of that it can be this, it can be a hormonal thing, but also this is probably the first time in my life where I felt this feeling, and I do feel incredibly settled. And I know that's going to sound a bit cheesy, a bit corny, you know, and it's that, you know, the fact that I've got married seems to have just settled me down a little bit. And I don't mean it has settled me down like it's, you know, tamed me or anything like that, but I think because it's something I've always wanted to do, and it was such a big demonstration about my love to Big G, and just after being together for so long and finally sort of making that commitment together and now being his wife, it just, I feel very calm, very settled within myself, within, my troubled soul sort of thing. I feel very much like, and it is a first for me, and it's a feeling that I kind of want to explore a little bit, but I'm also aware that it can be probably temporary. And it's just, yeah, we've been married a couple of weeks now, and life's returned to normal in terms of, we're back at work and we're doing, our normal family things, and we're, walking the dog and, buying groceries and all the normal things we were doing before. But at the same time, I just feel different too. And I feel, surely it's an absolute pain in the neck changing your name, as I've been discovering, because I didn't realise how many things that legally required my name, and required it to be changed. So that's been a bit of a pain in the neck, so far, but that's the kind of the only fly in the ointment in that respect. But it could be like that honeymoon phase. I have no idea. I mean, I've never done this before. I've never got married before, and I don't intend to do it again. But I feel so calm within myself, and I think it may be the fact, well, the Big G turned up for a start, which is gonna be good considering how nervous we both were, and probably him more, because his sort of anxiety is more around social kind of gatherings and social events and things, and certainly being the groom at a wedding is a pretty big deal. So, and there was a lot of kind of focus on him, which he's not used to, and expectations and things. It's both very new territory for us, obviously getting married and protocol and all that kind of legal stuff that comes with it. But I don't know. I feel very, very good. And I think having lived with quite negative and self-deprecating kind of feelings for most of my life, I'm not used to feeling so positive, because I think the build-up to the wedding certainly was a major stressor, and my job was, well, and still is, very, very stressful. And it really did drain my positive energy, really, because unfortunately the system is fractured and I'm just a cog in the wheel, a very, very, very big wheel. And you don't need to look at current affairs to realize how much of a mess the UK is in at the moment. But that's enough about politics, because I don't talk about politics, though it's very hard to escape from them. Anyway, so I've been in a very kind of not a great place, although I feel like psychologically I've been dealing with it better than perhaps I would have been 2, 3, 4 years ago. And I kind of face things differently. I certainly get more angry than I used to. That's probably an age thing as well. And your tolerance to BS kind of reduces, I think, as you get older, from speaking to my parents anyway. So having sort of very much lived in the not so positive kind of places, if you like, in terms of my mental health and well-being, to feel this calm and settled and kind of together, is, it's a lovely feeling. It really, really is, and I wish I could bottle it. But the and I'm kind of there's a little bit of me, of course, like the ongoing general anxiety side of me is feeling, well, is this just temporary? And if it is, I'm just gonna soak it all up now, while it's still fresh in my system. But another part of me is like, I'm hoping it won't go away, because this is, I for the first time in my life, I feel like I feel part of something. And I know it sounds really, really corny and a little bit, probably a bit down on myself, but I think from the kind of, you know, I've grown up in a blended family. I've had a lot of it, you know, obviously the stuff going on with my birth dad and all that kind of thing kind of really, really sort of crippled me emotionally. And you know, I still haven't dealt with that, and it'll come and hit me at some point. And I'll be ready to face it when it does. I'm kind of like a bit more equipped now, I think, and a bit more kind of stronger in myself to kind of deal with it. But I feel like now I'm Big G's wife, that it's kind of officiated kind of our family unit, I suppose, and kind of I'm part of him now. Even though we always have been, for the last sort of, you know, 19 and a half years we've been together, I don't mean it to sound like, you know, because like I said in previous posts, there's no problem with not being married. It's something that doesn't have to be done anymore, and it's great. And I think that this, you know, the argument that marriage can, you can lose your identity in it because you take your husband's or wife's name and things like that. And it, you know, that can be a whole new rabbit hole of discussion in itself. But for me personally, I'm quite liking the marriage thing. And, you know, and it's not about the, you know, the ownership and the, you know, the sort of archaic approach to it. It's almost like that I feel like I belong now. I feel like, you know, I'm his wife now, you know, and we're more of an equal partnership. And we always have been, but it's really, really hard for me to explain. And, you know, and I'm very aware that, you know, I'm stumbling over my words because I have no words to kind of describe it. But for the first time in my life, I feel like this is a path I've chosen. I didn't get a say on my birth name, and I didn't really get a say on my sort of assumed name once my mum and stepdad got married. I just started assuming that name because I think it just made everything easier, because blended families weren't that common in the early 90s, certainly not in the area where we lived anyway. It was only that, as you know, as I got older, that people's parents started divorcing, and I just wondered why it was such a big deal, because my parents had gone through it when I was very, very, very young, so I knew no different. So I guess I never really, you know, and looking at what happened with my birth dad, it's clear that I never belonged there. Or they seem to think I didn't belong there with them. I wasn't one of them. And, you know, with my stepfamily, though, I felt more identifiable with them, and I felt more part of their family. By blood, I wasn't, so I didn't really belong there either. And so when I met Big G, and of course we've done a lot of growing up together, and I think there's not a lot of people our age, certainly, that have been together for as long as we have, and gone through pretty much every kind of life challenge that can throw at you, and sort of stay strong and sort of remain stable for the duration. And, you know, I'm not going to say it's been plain sailing, because it certainly hasn't, with, you know, sickness and health and, you know, and all that kind of stuff that you vow when you do get married. It's like we've already kind of lived through it. So it was just us kind of solidifying that, I guess. And it's a path I've chosen, a path we've chosen together, and now I've taken his name. Although I've kept my maiden name, which is my assumed name, which was the name I took from my stepdad, I've hyphenated it with Big G's surname. So now I'm part of a different family now. But it's a family unit because it's only me and Little G that share the hyphenation. If hyphenation is a word. The hyphenated surname. So it's almost like that we've got our own exclusive little family now. And we've always had that exclusive little family ever since the day I found out I was pregnant. And now it just feels like I belong now. I'm part of something. And that just fills me with such contentment and safety, I guess, and stability. And like I said, I want to hold on to this feeling for as long as absolutely possible because I've never felt this kind of joy before. And just, you know, sort of harking back to the wedding day. I mean, the morning, it was just because we got married quite late in the day. We got married late in the afternoon because it's cheaper. that was mainly the thing. And it with Big G having his sort of social insecurities and social anxieties, I didn't want to do the full long wedding day because it would be exhausting for both of us, sort of psychologically and physically, plus financially. I had all day to get ready, essentially, and it was kind of surreal because it was almost just like spending all day getting ready to go on a night out, really. That was just kind of like the how I could equate it to. And we had fun, and you know, a couple of my friends did our hair and makeup and stuff, so it was quite nice. And then my mum would pop in and out, and Little G would pop in and out because he was staying with my parents for the 2 days over the wedding period. And you know, it was nice and just having chats and having a laugh and just feeling nervous but okay, and just like butterflies, which kind of intensified just throughout the day, really. And then my photographer turned up and I was like, oh wow, this is starting to get real. And he just sort of started taking a few sort of natural snaps of bridal prep, which I wasn't that keen on, if I'm honest. I don't really understand the thing, but you know, went with it. You know, I'd paid him for the duration, so I just let him get on with it, whatever he needed to do. And then the florist turned up and I was like, oh my god, this is really real now. And then because I'd stayed with one of my bridesmaids the night before, we didn't have access to the bridal suite until 2 hours before the wedding, so it was like a mad dash to kind of relinquish the room we were staying in to dash across the landing to the bridal suite to finish off getting ready. And to be fair to the photographer, helped us. He grabbed my suitcase and everything, bless him. And we literally, it was like some sort of comedy sketch with like us running sort of all clad in dressing gowns across the landing to the bridal suite, which was absolutely amazing, by the way. And I think what hit me was I got a phone call to the room just to say, you know, not to worry. It was the wedding planner, not to worry. We're just running a bit 5 minutes behind, but don't worry, everything's okay. So I was like, when people say don't worry, you kind of worry anyway, don't you? And it's kind of like my default is to worry or overthink or assume the worst. And so I was like, oh, okay. And then the next minute, I'm still in my robe. I've got like a bride bathrobe for the occasion. And next minute, my parents are knocking on the door. Well, you better hurry up because the registrar wants to see you in the hotel lobby. And I was like, oh my God. So then I'm kind of like whipping my clothes off in front of me bridesmaids, which to this day I'll keep apologising for. Because my wedding dress, I couldn't wear a bra with. So, yes. So, yeah, my bridesmaids saw a bit more of me than they'd ever done before. So there was a lot of profuse apologies. But I just kind of went into panic mode then. Because I was like, oh, my God, I'm late. Because I don't like being late. I'm early to everything. I'm at least sort of 20 minutes, half an hour early for absolutely everything, and that includes work, meeting friends, appointments, anything. I'm always early because I can't be late. That's one of my big issues with my anxiety. And to be fair, I only had to get my dress and my shoes on, so it wasn't like, you know, everything else was done. And then my photographer came back up again, and it was the look that my dad gave me when I walked into the room, and he had to go and stand by the window because I think he had a bit of a moment and he felt quite emotional. And then I had to go down and meet the registrars with my dad, as he was giving me away. And that seemed to go on for ages, absolutely on for ages. Oh, and another thing, in the UK, which I was not aware of, if you have a child out of wedlock and you then go on to marry the, you know, both biological parents go on to marry from that, you have to re-register your child's birth, which I thought was complete nonsensical because nothing's changed except that my surname is now hyphenated the same as my son's. But yeah, so that was. So that kind of like that, you know, that kind of was a bit of a curveball thrown in just as I was meeting the registrar. So I was like, what? So I think that made me a little bit late for the ceremony because it that kind of meeting with the registrars kind of went on a little bit longer than anticipated, I guess. And then the photographer wanted to catch a few sort of snaps going into the where the ceremony was. And then next minute, I'm walking through the restaurant in the hotel where the venue, you know, the venue, because that's the quickest access from the hotel side to the venue. And I just remember somebody going, "Oh, hello," like that. And so one of the diners like saying, "Oh, hello, check that out." And it was obviously me, my dad, and my bridesmaids walking through. So it was a bit like, okay. And then I just, when, and I don't know if this happens to others, but when I feel particularly nervous in a situation where I feel socially awkward, I say stupid things. I say really, really cringeworthy things. And the waiting staff that were serving people in the restaurant, I had to kind of walk meander my way around them to get to the door into the ceremony area. And I just said, "Oh, I'm sorry, I'll be out your way in a minute." And I was like, What did I need to say that for? They know I'm going to be out of the way in a minute, and I'm just like, no, I'm just going to stand here, like, you know, just for the hell of it in a wedding dress. Yeah, and then I just sort of remember my wedding planner kind of like her familiar face, and I felt kind of like a bit more relaxed seeing her. And she just sort of said, "Right, this is what's going to happen when you're ready, blah blah blah. I'm going to floof your dress." Apparently that's like it, that was like the saying of the day was floof the dress, or crease release was another one as well. And she said, "You know, right, on cue, I will send bridesmaid one down. The photographer wants a clear shot of both of them out of the way of the aisle so he can get a picture of you and your dad coming in." Right, fine, fair enough. The song starts. I said, "Ideally, I want to come in on the chorus." To be fair, I only had like kind of buzzing in my ears then, so I probably didn't really hear the song properly anyway. And then it was, I don't think my dad's ever held on to me as much ever in my life as he did, as we walked down together. And it was just that first look off Big G, and it was like, wow. I don't actually remember seeing anybody else. It was just like us two. It's, no, that's gonna sound like so corny, but all I kept saying was just look at him, just look at him. And then obviously like the ceremony started when my dad finally did actually let go of me to, you know, give me away in inverted commas, which, and then, you know, then everything. All the legal bits happened, and we said our vows, and I just remember holding Big G's hands, and like he was shaking as much as I was, so that was kind of reassuring. And I just kept thinking, "Don't faint, don't faint, don't faint." And then sort of partway through our vows, because the venue is not too far from a main sort of trunk road, if you like, an arterial road, like a quite a big bypass. All I could hear was sirens, and it was just, I was like, please don't start laughing halfway through your wedding ceremony. But I'm so glad it wasn't videoed, because obviously that would have come, like, that would have been picked up in the microphones. But it was quite funny, because I sometimes kind of get so focused on something that my mind does wander anyway. And thankfully I recited all my vows properly, and we did everything right and signed the right things and everything. And my first sort of kind of proper kind of memory of coming to, really, if that makes sense, is actually when we sat down to sign the register and looking around, and the best man sort of grinned at us both and was like, oh, well done, you know. And then my witness, who is my best friend, who, well, he is my best friend, was also signing the register for us. And just sort of like kind of looking up at people, and then seeing my mother-in-law crying. And I've never seen my mother-in-law cry ever. You know, I'm not saying like she's like a stoic or anything, but it was like, wow, this is a big deal. This is, people have been waiting for this for a long time. And I remember the registrar who officiated the ceremony. So you have two registrars, one filling in all the details and doing all the writing, and one actually sort of conducting it, if you like. And she sort of said to Big G, she said, are you right-handed or left-handed? And he sort of, I think it sort of caught him off guard, really. And he said, well, I'm right-handed. So she said, oh, right, so if you have Lauren on your left, because she's on your sword side. So apparently during medieval times, I don't know how true this is, it might just be something to calm us both down, because we were both absolutely petrified. She said, in traditional times, the bride would walk on the side of the sword, so the husband, the groom, could protect her from enemies, because he could draw his sword with his right hand and, you know, scare them all off. And I was like, okay, that's different. There were no swords involved, I can just add. And it was such a lovely moment, because then the three of us, so me, Big G, and Little G, walked back down the aisle for our recessional. And yeah, it was just seeing everybody smiling at us was just such a lovely feeling. And that, I think after the ceremony, we both relaxed a little bit more. And mainly because there was alcohol involved, and you know, and this is the big thing of it. We wanted it to be as informal as possible, and we just had our nearest and dearest there. And it was a truly magical day. And you know, I got my first dance, which was something that I really, really wanted from the wedding. And I got to dance with my dad as well. And the song we'd chosen for, I say we chosen, I'd chosen it. Big G didn't really get much of a say in it, bless him, because I think he just wanted me to drive this thing, as he quoted. We had a song called 23 by Jimmy Eat World, which is our, like, kind of our song, if anybody knows it. And it's not a love song per se, because as the band will say, not a lot of their songs are particularly loving and happy. So, but that was like, it was such a poignant song for us, because that was kind of a song that reminded me of going away to university and missing him, and him loaning me all those CDs to burn onto my then MP3 player. I don't think people have them anymore, but yeah, let's go with it. And for my father-daughter dance, which was something I also wanted to do, was a song called Daughter by Sleeping At Last. And it's such a beautiful song, if anybody wants to listen to it, if anybody, you know, it's a very affirming song, from the point of view of a parent singing to their child. And it's an absolutely beautiful song. And that was the first time I then cried, because I think it was just such a, it meant so much. And I think after everything that's gone on this year, it was just feeling that kind of unconditional love for my dad then, even though he isn't my birth father, that I just felt that he'd done, that just kind of boxed off everything in life that a father should, you know, should do for their child. And yeah, that was a very poignant moment for us both. And I just spent the rest of the night on the dance floor, mostly by myself, but that was that, I was cool with it. But then it was like I started to feel a little bit guilty, and I think that's just, again, one of my default kind of feelings, because I didn't get around to speaking to all my guests. I tried as I may, I couldn't get around to everybody. I did try and mingle as best I could, but I wanted to dance and drink wine and, you know, just settle my nerves from the day and just make the most of the festivities, really. So there is a little, I do feel a little bit guilty for that, but it was an absolutely fantastic day. And I do apologise because my dog is currently snoring beside me. So if you can hear any heavy breathing, it's just my dog. But she's fine. She's just being dramatic, as usual. It was absolutely fantastic. My mum did a speech, which thankfully wasn't too embarrassing. I came out quite okay in that. And I did a speech as well. And although I was shaking like a leaf, and I don't know if it was just like the adrenaline release or whatever from the whole day, but I was really, you know, proud of myself for public speaking as well, because it's not something I do very often. But I got through it, and you know, and I got a few laughs as well, so my jokes weren't too bad. And it was quite nice, really, because I spoke to Big G about it the other day, because he was initially going to do a speech because he thought by law that he had to. And when I sort of offered that I'd already written one, he was like, "Oh, that's fine, I can relinquish that to you then." But he did send me his draft. He hadn't actually finished his speech, but from what he'd started to write and certainly what he wanted to elaborate on was very, very lovely, and it did bring a tear to my eye. And, you know, just sort of saying that, you know, and it was nice that he'd remembered stuff, like there was, you know, because I think sometimes your partners purposely sort of say they've forgotten stuff and don't remember stuff, and I think they do, really. It's just they, I don't know, that they, not that they feel embarrassed about it, but they just don't want to, I don't know. And there's a lot of stuff that he recalled that I didn't think he would, and just sort of said, you know, things like, okay, we both like different seasons of the year, she'll like a spa weekend and I like to sit on a mountain, and but the we'll still share a silly joke and laugh for hours. And I was just like, that's such a beautiful thing to say. And he'd said that I was amazing, and he said something like, she is an amazing woman and deserving of an equally amazing husband or something, so I'm going to spend the rest of my life wondering what went wrong or something like that. And it was just quite sweet and funny, and you know, it was very complimentary, and it was lovely. And I, like I said, I can't wait to see the wedding photos now and just sort of relive all those moments that I kind of almost sleepwalked through. I don't know what the correct term is, but yeah, that, you know, whatever the proper term is, because you do feel like it's kind of all a bit of a dream haze, your wedding day. Well, it certainly was for me anyway, but I had the most perfect day, and I really did. Everything went without a hitch, and if anything did go wrong, I wasn't aware of it, so I don't really care. You know, it was absolutely spectacular, and it's kind of that positivity and that feel of togetherness and contentedness is kind of taking me through back to work. So I haven't had that level of anxiety I would normally feel after being off work for a length of time. I've been off work for 3 weeks altogether, you know, a week before the wedding and then 2 weeks thereafter. And I've gone into work feeling so much more positive. That could all change, by the way. That could completely change at any time, because work's already taken its toll. And I realised, oh, actually, it's exactly the same as it was before I left. But I feel like I can face anything now, and that I feel very empowered by that. And I don't know if it's just because I feel so content and so positive that nothing can stop me. But like I said, I hope this is a feeling that doesn't diminish and it stays and it keeps me feeling sort of wholesome, really. And what I'll do, I will share in some of my sort of wedding photos when they as and when they arrive, and I will put them onto my Instagram page, just to share in the moment. But I like to kind of keep the anonymity of big and little G and my family, so it'll be probably like ones with like emoji faces over them or something, but I will share in that if I can. And I do feel very settled within myself. My soul feels very, very calm right now. So, and I just wish I could bottle that and share it. I really, really do, because this is the first time in my life where I feel like I've got my shit together, which for somebody who's been dragged, down some really dark, horrible paths in the last few years, it really means a lot. It really just makes a heck of a difference. And whether this is a permanent feeling or whether this is just temporary and it's just all like the honeymoon period, all that warm and fuzziness, I'm gonna hold on to it for as long as I physically can, and share it with everyone and share that positivity. So I'm going to kind of cut it short again tonight because I have work in the morning and I have to get up very, very early. Unfortunately, it's my weekend in. So having 3 weeks off equates to you're working the weekend, you come back into work. So I can do that. I will, do it with as much grace as I can. So I'm gonna leave on a high note, because I know the last few podcast episodes haven't always been. Like I said, if I could bottle this feeling and share it with you all, I would. And this is kind of my way of doing that. And just knowing that there is that contented feeling out there somewhere, there is that happiness, and we're all deserving of that. And I appreciate everybody's in different stages of their recovery, and it's never linear. So if you do go through a blip, just rest assured that it's not a permanent thing. It's just a bump in the road, and we all have them. And certainly even, I've been discharged from mental health care for 3.5 years, and I still get my off days. And as the, Bring Me the Horizon song will say, it's just a bad day, not a bad life. Another song you need to check out, it's absolutely amazing. It's and very, very poignant. So as I said, everybody's in different stages of their recovery, and I appreciate that not everybody, is feeling that right now, but I promise that things do get better and there is that light, and just keep following that light and look for your torches, and they could be your friends, your family, your colleagues, could be all of them. That are willing to carry the torches for you in the darkness. And I'm just so very grateful every day for mine, and they were all there on my wedding day. So I'm going to leave you guys to it, and much love as always. Stay safe, keep talking, keep breaking down those walls of stigma. And I will speak to you again soon, and hopefully I'll still be feeling this happy and light and floaty. So without further ado, good night, take care, speak to you soon.